This morning, we've been meditating.
Y hemos, nos hemos encontrado en este lugar.
We find ourselves in space.
Donde la presencia del Señor.
Where the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ has been real.
No creo que la presencia del Señor se siente.
Well, you feel that, we believe in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ.
La presencia del Señor es real.
It's not a feeling, it's a reality.
Y es lo que hace este lugar especial.
What makes this place so very special.
Vamos a leer unos textos en Hechos 11.
We're going to read some texts from the book of Acts, chapter 11.
Versos 19 al 21.
Verses 8.
Hermano, que te lo puedo leer.
Verses, chapter 11, verses 18 to 21. Read that for you as soon as I get there. Acts chapter 11, verse 18 through 21 says, "When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, 'Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life.' Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenix, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to none, but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spoke unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord."
Vamos a orar.
Let's pray.
Padre, te damos gracias esta mañana. Y estamos aquí delante de tu presencia, consciente de que tú conoces nuestros corazones, tú conoces cada rincón de nuestra vida. Y esta es tu palabra. Nos postramos hacia ella, porque sabemos que es la autoridad absoluta de la iglesia. Y queremos meditar con humildad en tu palabra, y queremos, Señor, que el poder del Espíritu Santo obre en nuestros corazones, y esta mañana, a través de tu Espíritu y tu palabra, seamos motivados a seguir viviendo una vida práctica, una vida que traiga honra y gloria a tu nombre. Gracias, en Jesús, tu Hijo amado. Amén.
Heavenly Father, we do come before you this morning and we come seeking your word. We know that your word is the absolute authority of everything we do and believe. Help us, Lord God, to live it. Live it in such a way that we can be lights in this world. To receive your word with humility and humbleness, to accept it for what it is, in spite of how we feel, to look at the reality of what you're living here, so that we can conduct ourselves in this world in a way for glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in his name. Amen.
Esta mañana, estos minutos que tenemos,
this morning, the minutes that we have,
quisiera que vayamos a un modelo.
We want to travel to the model itself.
Que fue la iglesia de Antioquía.
It was the church at Antioch.
Amados hermanos, en este tiempo difícil para el cristianismo,
beloved brethren, in a time that's so very difficult for Christianity,
realmente necesitamos regresar a esta iglesia en
Antioquía. The reality is, we need to go back to the church.
Lucas nos muestra cómo esta iglesia de Antioquía fue una plataforma de lanzamiento para las misiones mundiales.
We can see that the Church of Antioch was a great example for us for global ministries.
Se convirtió en una base de operaciones para los viajes misioneros de Pablo y Bernabé.
It was literally a base of missionaries at Paul's time. Just there.
Y posteriormente con Silas.
usted vio un ente. Later on, it would be an example and a guide to navigate.
Ahora, Antioquía era la tercera ciudad más grande del Imperio Romano.
Antioch was the third biggest city in the
world. Recordemos que estaba Roma y Alejandría. Contábamos por menos con unas 500,000 habitantes.
500,000 habitants.
Este lugar llevaba el apodo de la Reina del Oriente.
The idols and the gods of their time.
We have the nickname of the Queen of the
East. Oh, the nickname of the Queen of the East, yes.
Era
she should be here.
La ciudad servía de encrucijada ya que contaba con importantes carreteras se dirigido al norte, al sur, al oeste.
There was a lot of roads that were built, all roads leading to Rome, right? But they were east and west and all the important roads that you needed for civilization figures.
Habían diferentes nacionalidades representadas ahí en ese lugar.
There are many nationalities being represented in that place.
Greeks,
Romans,
Syrians, Phoenicians,
Jewish,
Arabs, Egyptians, Africans, etc. Desde el punto de vista religioso, Antioquía era pluralista, era idólatra.
It was a pluralistic, religious society.
Se decía que moraban todos los dioses ahí, como el dios Zeus, Apolo,
Zeus, Apollos.
La iglesia de Antioquía realmente cambió el mundo.
The Church of Antioch, if you really think about it, literally changed the world.
Y pensamos en la iglesia de Jerusalén. La iglesia de Jerusalén era maravillosamente una excepcional iglesia.
We think of the Church of Jerusalem as well. It was exceptional.
Y debe ser apreciada por su singularidad y poder.
Should be appreciated for its singularity and power.
Pero tenía sus desafíos cuando se trataba de evangelizar realmente a los judíos.
It had some deficiencies. Just sought to evangelize to the Jews and to the Jews only.
Antioquía, en cambio, era una iglesia internacional, multicultural.
Antioch was an international place, holistic nations and societies all over the world.
Y nos preguntamos qué hizo que esta iglesia Antioquía fuera tan poderosa.
We ask ourselves, we even ask ourselves, how in the world can Antioch be such a powerful church in a missionary way? The missionary way of speaking.
¿Cuáles son los ingredientes de una iglesia misionera?
What are the ingredients of a missionary-based church?
De una manera rápida, quiero que esta mañana nos enfoquemos por lo menos en tres características de esta iglesia que fue misionera.
This morning, we want to focus on six particular characteristics that make Antioch such a missionary church.
Y en primer lugar, esta iglesia realmente era una iglesia evangelizadora, efectiva.
In the first place, Antioch was an evangelistic church.
Y por lo que podemos ver aquí en los versos 19-20, estos hermanos tenían una mentalidad de compromiso.
Well, we can see, from verses 19 and 20 that the mentality of the Antioch church was they were focused on a goal. They were focused on a mission.
Nuestro hermano estaba explicando aquí de este misionero que se fue a este lugar.
Brother was just talking about a missionary who specifically focused on one particular place.
Y estos hermanos realmente tienen una mentalidad, un compromiso realmente claro de lo que van a hacer.
And these men went to this place with a commitment in their minds and in their hearts of what they are going to do here.
El verso 19 dice, ahora bien, los que habían sido esparcidos a causa de la persecución que hubo con motivo de Esteban, pasaron hasta Finicia, Chipre y Antioquía, no hablando a nadie la palabra, sino solamente a judíos, El verso 20, pero había entre ellos unos varones de Chipre y de Cirene, los cuales cuando entraron en Antioquía hablaron también a los griegos anunciando el evangelio del Señor Jesús.
Let's look at verses 19 with the evangelical approach or mission or goal that they had. It says, now they were scattered abroad. The persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, Antioch, preaching the word to none, but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus.
Estos creyentes, a causa de esta persecución, llegaron a Chipre y algunos llegaron a Antioquía y se establecieron ahí.
In the midst of persecution, these missionaries went into the field and established the mission field and the work there.
Y al estar dispersos, estos cristianos dedicaron a predicar la palabra del Señor.
Even dispersed and traveling without a home, so to speak, there they were committed to preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Pero algunos de ellos solo hablaban el evangelio a los judíos.
But some of them only spoke to the Jews.
Pero estos hombres de Chipre y de Cirene realmente nos desafían. Pero estos hombres de Chipre y de Cirene realmente desafían nuestras vidas.
Well, but these men from Cyprus and Cyrene make the difference in our lives.
Rompieron importantes barreras culturales.
They broke the present cultural barriers that you and I benefit from.
Desde que conocieron al Señor, ellos sabían que este evangelio era para todo el mundo.
The day they met Christ, they knew that the message of the gospel isn't for the Jew only.
Y no podían limitar este mensaje tan importante.
And they couldn't forego this important, the most important message of it.
Así que estos hombres estaban mentalizados, estaban comprometidos a expandir el evangelio a todos lugares, no importando las culturas.
These men were mentally committed and spiritually committed to giving the gospel outside of any cultural barriers to everybody.
Evangelizaron a los paganos de forma notable, rompiendo barreras culturales, y el evangelio entró a ese lugar.
They evangelized an entire group of unbelievers and infidels to change the culture of the message.
Amados, no podemos ser sal y luz si nunca nos involucramos con aquellos que viven y conocen solo un mundo oscuro y perverso.
My beloved, we can't limit ourselves to a particular people, a particular culture, giving the message to only those that you think will be able to understand you.
Necesitamos acercarnos.
We need to draw near to everyone.
Porque ellos necesitan el evangelio.
Everyone needs the gospel. Jesus.
Y estos hombres fueron movidos por el Espíritu Santo a llevar el mensaje.
These men were moved by the Holy Spirit to bring the message to everyone.
¿Saben? Estos hombres tuvieron un claro entendimiento del evangelio.
These men understood the clear commitment in the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Dice que los hombres de Chipre y Cirene iban anunciando el evangelio del Señor Jesús.
They said, it says in verse 20 that these men went to Cyprus, Cyrene, and Antioch and spoke unto the Grecians. What?
Hay una pequeña diferencia aquí. Hay una pequeña diferencia aquí. No predicaban sobre Jesús como el Cristo, sino sobre Jesús como el Señor.
Repite eso un momento.
No predicaban Jesús como el Cristo, sino a Jesús como el Señor.
They didn't preach Jesus as the Messiah or as the Christ. They spoke Jesus Christ the Lord.
La razón era porque la gente, la población de ahí, de este lugar, no eran judíos.
Yeah, the particular, because you got to understand that the audience wasn't wholly Jewish. And so they needed to understand that the gospel was of who Jesus was.
Y ellos sabían que los oyentes no tendrían mucho interés en la esperanza de Israel.
They also understood that the Gentile nations really didn't have any kind of aspirations of, you know, what's coming to Israel. They didn't care.
Y hay un título aquí en el texto que es Señor.
And there is a title here, the Lord, in this text that's important. The Lord.
Curious. Que significa Señor, era el uso común en aquella población.
The word Lord is the word Kurios, Lord, Master, God.
En las religiones de estos lugares, realmente esta palabra era muy común.
Yeah, this particular word Lord, or Kurios, was very common, even in terms of the men.
Porque ellos de una forma diferente conocían al Kurios, un salvador de sus vidas.
In some particular form, they understood the word Lord, or the Greek word Kurios, as a savior of their life.
Pero estos evangelistas de esa palabra Kurios les anunciaron el evangelio, el Kurios que sí salva a la persona.
But this wasn't any necessary. They preached. These evangelists preached to the Gentile nations that this word Kurios, this person that they're talking to, Jesus, wasn't your ordinary Kurios. He was the Kurios that can actually save your eternal life.
Recordemos a Pablo predicando en Atenas y predicó el evangelio de aquel el Dios desconocido.
Remember Paul, who went to Athens and preached there to the about the unknown God, who that really was.
Cuando uno realmente tiene claro el evangelio en su mente, en su corazón, de cualquier alternativa, de cualquier oportunidad que se le permita, habla el evangelio con claridad.
A believer that's evangelically minded and comprehends the magnitude and the effect of the gospel, preaches it. This is any believing man or woman gives that message to everyone, understanding exactly the impact of the true gospel of Jesus Christ.
Un predicador llegó a un lugar y se dio cuenta de que había un puente, y este puente recordaba que había sido un puente, el puente de salvación, y la gente conocía, lo recordaba esto.
There was a preacher talking about the bridge, and that bridge was a bridge of salvation. The people that were listening to him understood what the bridge was, and then they began to understand the concept of salvation.
Y este hombre, desde ese puente, expuso el evangelio a tal naturaleza que las personas se convertían.
We used to preach from that bridge to people, and as people were crossing the bridge, they would hear this man's message and they would get saved. They understood what they were doing. When you have a very good understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you can just about use anything as an illustration to explain what the gospel is. And these brothers and sisters were also anonymous Christians. They didn't focus on one particular people. But there, and it says in verse 20, some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene and Olympia. You realize, and I think it's good to know, but they don't give you the names of these men. You know, only person in the past that actually were used to start the church in
Antioch.
In these days, we need to know what it's like to be like these men here in Antioch. These men from Cyprus and Cyrene who preached anonymously should be an example to every evangelist not seeking, you know, glory to his own name.
Pero llegaron ahí y realmente Dios.
noted that the church of Antioch that you hear about was started by men that you hear nothing of. They didn't seek any attention for himself.
En nuestro tiempo, lo que escuchamos son nombre, apellido.
These days, what do you hear in a poster when somebody's evangelizing? Oh, the great so-and-so, names, titles, and all the rest of it. These men with tears shed, you know, started a church here. These men from Cyprus and Cyrene, and the month of struggles that they must have suffered to start that. And we know about the church of Antioch, but we never hear their names mentioned, which is where they were.
En la parte del pasillo, hay dos fotos grandes.
Here, as a matter of fact, in this particular chapel, we see in the hallway, there are two big pictures.
La parte izquierda está vieja.
And the part in the left is the older chapel.
En la parte de esta, la cortilla,
the part on the right, you can see the new chapel. So there's some time between one point and another. But the people that started this chapel that you see on those pictures, you don't see their faces, you don't see their names, you just see the work that they've done in front of them. And we look and trust in the Lord, and we honor Him.
Pero también estos hombres contaron con la gloria de Dios.
But these men also counted.
Dice el verso 21, y la mano del Señor estaba con ellos, y gran número creyó y convirtió al Señor.
It says here that the hand of the Lord, verse 21, was with them, and a great number believed and turned.
Nosotros somos un instrumento.
We're just instruments.
Mm-hmm. Pero el que hace la obra.
But he who does the real.
El que tiene el poder.
The one who has the real power.
De cambiar, de transformar gente.
To change and transform people.
Es el Lord. Y por eso debemos estar tan claros cada vez que vamos a predicar, vamos a predicar.
That's why when we go up, we have to have an evangelical mind and so much that all we know is that all we know and that all we communicate is Christ and His power. This is not something that comes from men. This can only come from God.
Yo a veces veo a la gente queriendo cambiar a los demás.
Sometimes we see that there are people that really want to change other people.
Pero esto tú no lo puedes cambiar.
Only God can. People don't change people. God does.
En segundo lugar, esta iglesia realmente discipulado, un discipulado dinámico. Esta iglesia de Antioquía tenía un discipulado dinámico.
The Antioch church had a very dynamic process of discipleship.
Nosotros se preocupaba por la gente de diferentes culturas, de diferentes
idiosincrasias. They didn't just have a particular interest in people that weren't Jews, Grecian, Gentiles, and from any nation. It wasn't the only thing that they did.
Sino se preocupaban de enseñarles la estructura del Evangelio.
But they wanted to show them specifically the instructions of evangelism, not only how to get there, but how to lead others to salvation as well. And to do that, you have to have brothers in the Lord Jesus who have a spiritual discernment, not carnal, spiritual.
El verso 22 nos dice, llevó la noticia de esta cosa
la vida de la iglesia que estaba en Jerusalén y enviamos a Bernabé que fuera hasta Antioquía.
Verse 22 says, these things came unto the ears of the church which is in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far.
Esto nos parece mucho cuando enviaron a Pedro y a Juan a ver el cómo el evangelio estaba cambiando de tamaño.
This is reminds us a lot of the young Peter and John was actually a step to see of the church in Samaria. We noticed that this particular church didn't have an apostolic authority.
La iglesia estaba lleno de nuevos creyentes.
All the new believers.
La obra era nueva.
The work was the new one.
Así que necesitaba un hombre que realmente pudiera ayudar a estos nuevos creyentes.
So it would be logical that they needed somebody who understood the word of God and evangelism, and evangelism, you know, somebody that understood the teaching of God to lead these new believers to the truth.
Y de alguna manera, la iglesia de Jerusalén vio que algo estaba pasando y enviaron a este hombre, a Bernabé.
Somehow the Jerusalem church, right, found out that something was going on in Antioch and they needed to get involved quickly.
Yo siempre creo que cuando hay discernimiento espiritual, las personas que son enviadas son las personas correctas.
The brother says that he really believes that when there is spiritual discernment, when they send forth men to do a job, to do a work for the Lord, they know that they're sending the right people.
Imagínense si hubiera enviado a este grupo de judaizantes en el capítulo 15, creo. Imagínense lo que hubiera proporcionado a la vida de estos nuevos creyentes.
Yeah, just imagine, even, you know, you look as far as, you go to Acts chapter 15, and, you know, the proportion of teaching that these men had to give over to the church, were prepared to do something big was happening.
Es difícil discipular cuando nuestros ojos están dormidos.
It's very difficult to disciple people
cuando
when
no hay discernimiento.
Slumbers, you know.
Cuando no hay discernimiento.
When there's no discernment.
No alcanzamos a ver las necesidades dentro de la iglesia.
If there is no discernment, then nobody can tell what the real need of the assembly is.
Hermanos, hermanos, dentro de nosotros hay mucho trabajo, hay muchas personas con grandes necesidades y debemos percibir y llegar a ellos y poder ayudarles.
You know, amongst us, you won't think of it, but amongst us, there are believers with real spiritual needs. But unless you're spiritually discerned and willing to know what the needs are, you'll never know. Never
know. Creo que si no evangelizamos,
we don't evangelize.
Y si no estamos discipulando,
and if we're not discipling,
la iglesia morirá.
The church will eventually die.
Y esto fue fundamental en esta iglesia.
This was fundamental at the church of Antioch.
Bernabé fue enviado. Y cuando llegó allá, animó a estos hermanos.
Barnabas was ready. And Barnabas was sent. And you all know Barnabas' name, right? Son of encouragement, right? He went to encourage the people.
El verso 23 dice que este cuando llegó y vio la gracia de Dios se regocijó y dice y exhortó a todos a que con propósito de corazón permaneciesen fieles al Señor.
Look at the teaching in verse 23. Who, when he came, speaking of Barnabas, and had seen the grace of God, was glad. It just encouraged them. And exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave.
Entonces, Bernabé animó a estos hermanos. Debemos animar a los hermanos. Debemos animarles. A veces, hermanos, ignoramos que estamos en un momento difícil de vivir.
We need to encourage our brothers and sisters. Now more than ever, we need the gift of encouragement in a very powerful way. We need to encourage one another. It should be coming from a specific people. We need to encourage each other.
Y es posible que la moría que estamos aquí, que regularmente los congregamos, tenemos un estado de vida estable. Sin embargo, amados hermanos, hay hermanos que luchan y les cuesta venir y congregarte.
Sometimes, unbeknownst to us, and I've seen that personally in my own life, unbeknownst to us, because sometimes we're comfortable in our stability of mind, that we just become, not on purpose, but it just happens. We get blinded to the fact that there might be a brother and sister next to you that literally have to make quite some sacrifices just to get to church. They're just not in the right place. And unless you know them, you will never know what the need is.
El discipulado es instruir.
The disciple is to instruct.
Dice el verso 26, y se congregaron allí todo un año con la iglesia y enseñaron a mucha gente y a los discípulos se les llamó cristianos por primera vez en Antioquía.
Looking at the product of discipleship and encouragement, verse 26. And when he had found them, he brought them unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year, it takes time, doesn't it? A whole year, they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch.
Quien ya había pasado tiempo con él. Bernabé va a buscar a Saulo, con quien ya había pasado tiempo con él.
Barnabas, he saw Paul, whom he already has spent some time with. He saw Paul there.
Estaba en la capacidad de Saulo para extender puentes en este lugar.
He knew the capabilities of Paul. He's worked with Paul, so he knew that having Paul by his side would be a great help to the work right now.
Paul podía explicar a diversos grupos y estaba muy bien informado.
Saul could reach to, he was able to reach a well-rounded brethren, whether Jew, Gentile, it didn't matter. He knew how to do this. And if, you know, he was a very good addition to this particular
group.
And Luke makes it very clear here in the book of Acts that they reached and taught for the people here.
Es decir, hermanos, que el discipulado es tan esencial, que realmente es ahí donde nuestras raíces cristianas se profundizan a tal naturaleza que no estamos
moviendo. Needed. It's so essential in the church that when it's done, it reaches the deepest parts of everybody's life and makes a huge difference in the assembly and support. The person who has truly been discipled.
El verso 26 dice, y a los discípulos se les llamó cristianos por primera vez en Antioquía.
And look at what it says of the disciples that were discipled in Antioch in the last portion of verse 26. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. They changed. The person that is truly discipled brings forth fruit. To really notice here in this last portion of verse 26 is that the people in Antioch didn't call themselves Christian, they were called Christian. And the believers identified, they were identified. People, some Christ in their lives, and what else can you call them? Let's read the last portion because the time is approaching.
En tercer lugar, esta iglesia tenía un ministerio de misericordia.
The third thing is that the church had a ministry of mercy.
Un gran hambre en aquellas regiones. Pero esta iglesia fue movido a misericordia y comenzó a enviar ofrendas de amor.
This particular church also had the gift of mercies and the gift of giving. And they saw the need and they started just giving wherever the need was. It's an act of love.
En cuarto lugar, esta iglesia de Antioquía tenía un liderazgo multicultural.
It's clear that in this particular church, they had a very multicultural eldership.
Note esto. Bernabé era un creyente judío originario de Chipre.
Barnabas was a Jew, a believer from Cyprus.
Simeón se llamaba Níger. Su nombre significa negro o oscuro. La mayoría cree que era de África.
¿Quién fue ese?
Níger, en el capítulo 12, el 7, el 13. No, el 12.
12:1. Simon. Simon, you said?
Yeah.
13:1. Yeah. That Simon's name meant.
Simeón se llamaba Níger. Su nombre significa negro o oscuro. Sería que era de África.
Simeon's name was Simeon, who was also called Niger. They said that his name usually meant dark or black.
Luciano procedía de Cirene, es decir, del norte de África.
Lucius came from the north of Africa, isn't it? From the north of Africa. So just he's saying this to let you know how multicultural the teachers and the eldership.
La verdad que eran personas de diferentes lugares.
Jew, Gentile, from this place and from that place, they were from many different cultures, many different places. It was important.
Ahora, ¿cómo estos hombres realmente, cómo es que trabajaron de una manera asombrosa en aquella población?
It makes you wonder, how did these men actually come together in agreement and work together to be such a shining light in their community and in the church? Let me give you an example.
El mismo ejemplo, hermano Glenn, me manda a predicar a los americanos.
So, for example, Glenn sends me to preach to an English-speaking American church.
Realmente 1% bueno para el alcance de la población norteamericana.
¿Cómo fue?
Ok. Si Glenn me envía a predicar a la población norteamericana.
Yeah, ok. So Glenn is coming to preach to the North American community.
Yo no conozco.
I don't know.
Su cultura.
Their culture.
Yo no conozco realmente tu costumbre.
I don't know their customs.
Yo no conozco nada y mucho menos el idioma.
I don't know a whole lot about them, especially their language.
¿Cómo alcanzaría?
So, am I going to reach these people?
Vamos a pensar este liderazgo multicultural ahí en Antioquía.
Let's think about this multicultural leadership there in India.
Pero si a mí me mandan, bueno.
Ishmael, I'm going to send you to the Hispanic community. Not too long ago, me and the brothers went to preach to some people in the apartments that took from here.
Y me decía, por ejemplo, ¿cómo está? No, pues, aquí estoy.
He, the Mexican was asking him in the apartment because he's preaching. Hey, morning. And he's not going to answer and say, you didn't hear him. You know, he knows exactly what he's trying to ask him.
Es muy importante y esta iglesia realmente trabajó de manera extraordinaria, porque lo que tenían el potencial de alcanzar en su vertido, que conocían la costumbre, realmente no dejaron de llegar a ellos y el Evangelio y para todos los hijos de Dios.
The thing is, it's the fact that the leadership in that they were able to reach so many people in that short amount of time. It wasn't their similarities that made the leadership, but it was their differences. As they gave themselves over to Christ, God used their differences to reach a more.
Quiero mencionar esto. El cinco punto es que el Espíritu llama por medio de la iglesia a Bernabé y a Saulo.
The fifth point is, it's the Holy Spirit that called these men, wasn't it, Barnabas and so on.
Aquí hay un principio muy fundamental y esto siempre se debe enseñar en las iglesias.
This is a very important, fundamental, and essential principle, the power of the Holy Spirit.
Dios llama a la persona.
God.
Por medio del poder del Espíritu
Santo.
Pero hay una armonía con la iglesia. Que llamaron a Pablo y a Bernabé para mandarlo al mundo
mismo.
Y hermano, hoy en estos días hay tantos patanes que han proclamado el apóstol de la calle, el apóstol este, el apóstol el otro, y usted le pregunta dónde se congrega, no pertenecen a ninguna iglesia.
So you have a big movement today. I don't know if you've actually seen this, especially with people that I've met in the street myself, is that they're self-proclaimed apostles with a self-given mission to go out into the world and evangelize for Christ. And you ask them, where do they fellowship? They don't. They don't belong to any particular assembly, any particular church. And yet, they're proclaimed, whatever it is, to reach the masses with the gospel.
Por último, esta iglesia resolvía problemas doctrinales.
In these particular places, when there's the self-proclamation of men, you find yourself with a lot of false doctrine.
En el capítulo 15 miramos algo que ocurrió.
We look at Acts chapter 15, something that occurred there.
Un grupo judaizante que sí habían conocido el Evangelio, pero ellos creían que debían circuncidarse y guardar la ley para ser salvos.
Well, we look at the example in Acts chapter 15, verse 1, right? It says, "And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren, and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved." That's a false gospel.
Y esta iglesia resolvió este problema.
This particular church resolved
that. Pablo y Bernabé se levantó con otros hermanos hasta la iglesia de Antigua, la iglesia de Jerusalén, y resolvieron este problema.
Paul and Bernabas could just sit down and listen to the false doctrine. And not only that, watching people get taught this false doctrine by people who proclaimed to be Christians, they went all the way as far as the Jerusalem Council to settle this matter once and for all.
Hermanos, esta iglesia era una iglesia que tenía evangelismo.
This church in Antioch was one that had evangelism.
Tenía discipulado.
They had discipleship.
Tenía ministerio de misericordia.
They had ministries of mercy and giving.
Y tenía realmente un liderazgo.
And they had, really, in reality, a leadership
multicultural.
That was multicultural.
El Espíritu Santo trabajando en la iglesia,
working in the church spirit,
llamando a hombres y mujeres a las misiones,
to the mission.
Y resolvían problemas doctrinales.
And also, they were in the business of solving problems, not just sweeping them.
Esta iglesia es un modelo.
This should be a model church for us.
Y debemos animar nuestros corazones, hermano.
We should be really encouraging our hearts.
Nuestro hermano hablaba de el deseo de nuestra hermana Mar.
Brother talked about the desires of our dear sister. Related sister that passed away.
Cuando un ser querido parte a la eternidad en una familia, se siente la ausencia.
When a believer of that caliber goes home to be with us, as joyful as we are, we feel the void of me.
Esta mañana reconocemos eso.
And this morning we recognize that. We recognize what it is to have here.
La hermana no está con.
Sister is not with us in this place right now.
¿Cuántos años estuvo aquí? Yo siempre la admiré por este corazón, por los niños, por enseñar a los niños.
How many years has she been here, and I just beheld her and respected her and admired her for her servant's heart, especially in the children's ministry.
Quizás debemos redescubrir a tantos hermanos que han hecho tanta obra.
Maybe we should discover and encourage those brothers that are doing, the brothers and sisters that are doing this.
Y ser motivados como estos hermanos.
Yeah, we actually just wait till they depart, but never forget what the sisters and the brothers of old have done over the years, and let it encourage us and energize us to be copycats and do the same. When they're gone, I think of my personal mentor, Randy, for many, many years, doing ministry. We have men's intensive Bible studies planted all over the country. And when he left, it was difficult. But he would tell me, don't remember what I did. Just remember who I did it for. And you do the same. Just remember.
Nuestro hermano siempre repite esta frase, Glenn.
And then he says this.
No somos de este mundo.
We're not of this world.
Nuestro hermano ya regresó y está en casa.
My dear sister departed, and she is home.
Así que no nos preocupamos porque todo aquel que ha creído en Cristo va hacia la casa.
Don't be troubled and don't fret. Those that leave this world go home.
Pero mientras estamos aquí, hermanos, Charo no es una iglesia cristocéntrica. Es una ciudad, perdón, mundana, oscura, que necesita la luz.
Here, Charlotte is not exactly your Christocentric community. It is one that needs, desperately needs, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have our work to do.
Oremos.
Let's pray.
Padre, te damos gracias por esta iglesia en Antioquía. Ella fue un puente para mucha gente que simplemente conocía un mundo. Un mundo sin esperanza, un mundo oscuro, un mundo esclavo, un mundo que solamente pertenecía realmente sus deseos carnales y todo lo perverso. Sin embargo, Antioquía fue un puente donde mucha gente conoció tu verdad, tu evangelio. Y fueron salvos. Y un día veremos a esta gente que se convirtió. Un día veremos toda esa gente que creyó en el evangelio. Y ayúdanos a nosotros que el pueblo sea un puente. Aquí vemos muchas culturas representadas aquí. Y ojalá podamos ser motivados a alcanzar a nuestros vecinos, a otras personas. Gracias por tu presencia, gracias por tu palabra y gracias por cada hermano aquí presente. Jesús, damos gracias.
Think of this church in Antioch, how they were truly a bridge in their time, where they were literally existing in a very ungodly, a very pluralistic, idolatrous, even corrupt place, nation, where people were more interested in their own desires than they were of God's. Yet they decided to be based in that environment and reach the masses, the ungodly, idolatrous, evil, corrupt masses with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And everybody that crossed that bridge of Anion heard the gospel, and many were saved, and many were taught, and many were discipled, and many missionaries came up to go out into the world and do the same with others. May Fairview Bible Chapel be a bridge here at Charlotte in our community, that they will be able to reach the masses with the same purpose. We exist here multiculturally, Lord God, with different people from different places worshiping the same Jesus, and help us to bring this Jesus, the Lord, to our community. And it is His name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen.